is Davin's Den. Is Davin's Den.
And we are back, and joining us on the phone, Stephanie McGregor. How are you, Stephanie?
Hi, how are you doing?
I am well. Nice to talk to you. For those who don't know, and you probably don't, Stephanie and I met in the Bahamas, in Atlantis. Yeah. She used to be the librarian there, and they had computers there. That's where the computers were. Because it used to be $25 a day to use a computer in your room.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's Atlantis. Yes. It's a slice of pizza will set you back more than a mortgage. So I would be in there quite frequently, and I got to talking with Stephanie, and I would see Stephanie every year. And and now she has moved to New York, and I never see Stephanie.
It's not my fault.
I'm not blaming you.
And I
can't
even tell the final show on the day.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Stephanie. It's kind of frowned upon for people to get liquored up at 2 p.m. You know, comedy kind of goes hand in hand with booze. I don't make the rules. It's just what they are. But
Joe, I've been asking him to see if he could find somebody like one of those pubs and host him in the day, so then I could come and we could hang out. We could hang out before, but he comes to New York like 11 o'clock in the night.
I'm going to be in the city
at 11 o'clock in the night.
I will be in the city tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the night. So
tomorrow's Wednesday. It's a school night.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't. I don't put my comedy career on hold for during the school year.
8 o'clock is early. 8 o'clock is early.
It is early.
It is early for comedy, yeah.
But
I went out all the night, and it was 11 o'clock, and I felt weary. It was 11 o'clock, and I was like telling everybody I'm ready to go home. And then when they said 11 o'clock in the night, I said, yeah, it's late. Well, and they were like, no.
As you can tell, Stephanie is a 96-year-old woman.
Yeah. Yes. I am.
You could be an entertainer. I average like 1 o'clock during the week, every night, by the time I get done with everything I do.
So at Atlantis, Stephanie would bring in these authors to read to the children that were staying there, and I think even the local children, I think. And Stephanie's always been involved with getting children to read. So she started Connection to Creativity. Connection to Creativity. Yeah. Stephanie, tell us a little bit about Connection to Creativity.
Okay, so Connection to Creativity is a company where we inspire kids to read through creative initiatives, because we do believe that kids learn differently. Hence, we want to tap into the creative side of it to learn. So, for instance, I would showcase a book through art or through craft, through food, just to get them to be excited about reading again. So just try to tie everything that they like to a book. So that's what Connection to Creativity is about.
So it's like making it less sterile, because most people think, all right, you got to sit in a quiet place and read a book.
Exactly. And the thing about it, I think when we bring books to life, kids are able to say, oh, I never see it that way. And it also helped them with their comprehension skills, because when you bring it to life and you see what you can do, it's basically like interpreting the book, but through a creative way. So it's still a comprehension, but it's basically interpret the way I choose. And they will be like, oh, I never realized we could do that. Oh, I never see it that way. So it's a whole different way to look at books. So I don't like those just go to a library and just read book and just, I want people to see the fun in it. It's just as I was just Justin Timberlake bringing sexy back, I want to bring reading back. I want to bring back the fun in reading. So that's my goal.
How about sexy reading back? Can we bring that sexy reading back?
No. Mm-mm.
But it must be.
Because I deal with kids. You see, that's why 11 o'clock is too late for me. I deal with kids from 7:30 in the morning until 6 o'clock at night, and I'm done.
Yeah, that'll wear you out. Let me ask you a question. With all, like, with the internet and everything on the computer and stuff like that, is it tough to steer the kids to reading a book?
It is. Because the thing about it is that a lot of people tend to say, okay, let them watch ABC on the computer, or they might watch something. Let me not call any names. They might watch a particular program or a particular software to do reading. What I realize with those programs is that the kids get addicted to it, and then they might say, oh, let me watch another program instead of reading. Even though they might be doing a little bit of reading, they add like cartoon to it or add game to it. Then they get addicted to the computer. So when you give them a hard book in their hand, they don't want to read. And also it doesn't help them with their comprehension skills because they're so glued into, oh, the lights, oh, the this, what's going on the computer. The computer is good, but it also takes a lot away. And the thing about with a book, you can be outside of the park, you can be in a tree to help them to go outside. When you're in front of a computer, you sit one place. You can be anywhere, read a book, on the train, you can be in the car.
Well, depending if you're driving or not. Yeah.
Yeah, I know people are going to say, but you can use your phone, you can use it. But I believe, I think technology do play a good part in reading, but I also think it also plays, it has its pros and it has its cons with it. So it's a good tool at times, but it sometimes takes away from the kid actually taking up a physical book and read.
Right. I like reading like a physical book. I've never read a book on Kindle. I'll read like news stories.
I can't read a book on Kindle. I love reading and I can't fathom reading on Kindle. I like to hold a book.
Yeah, I like to hold a book too.
Me too. But nowadays kids, what I realize with them is that they love the computer lab. So when they go, they do a little bit of the reading there. But to me, even though they read a little bit, they tend to play games. So it's kind of distracting for them because you know people like say, oh, let's do the reading games. It's like tying it to their reading skill, but they still tend to stray away from that and go into something else. That is my point. If you just stick to only reading on it, then I'd be fine. But you know, they tend to stray away.
And I think
my own personal son, I mean, he can read, but if I put a computer before him and a book, he's not going to choose a book. He's going to choose a computer.
Right. And one of the things that you were prefacing is comprehension, reading and the comprehension. And I think you would have a better a better comprehension with a physical book than you would with a computer.
Yes, you would. Mm. And that's the whole thing about connection to creativity is that what we do, because when we bring a book to life through whatever format we choose, it's like kids are able to relate to it. It's relatable. They're able to see what it is. And also most of our programs, they're actually able to take the books home. So they actually build their home libraries, because at the end of the day, even though they're going to have fun with it, I still want them to continue the reading at home. I want to inspire to read more, because I'm surprised that, you know, I always say that this is the big America. I think every kid in America should be able to read with all the resources that they have. But kids are leaving school and not reading at their grade level. There are a lot of free programs, but parents are not utilizing those free programs. They're not utilizing the tools that are out there for them to help their kids read. A lot of kids are being left behind in school and not reading at all. And, it's just trying to – I think we most because of the behavioral issues at school, people tend to be emphasizing that, you know, try to keep them still, try to keep it. Kids are kids. You remember when we were kids, we used to get in trouble? I don't know about you. I used to have a lot of scraped knees, a lot of scraped elbows.
Yeah.
Because I used to go out and have fun. But, you know, it's not like they're robots in school. They have to sit still. They can't talk. I don't think they can even blink without permission, you know, because everybody is just a behavioral issue. It just keep on going on. So kids tend to like, okay, they just think they're on the straight and narrow thing. But I think they need to change the way how we're interacting with our kids and what we're teaching them and how we're teaching them. And that is where we come in. We're trying to see like kids be inspired through creativity, through what they like.
Now, speaking of school. Speaking of school, though, have any studies shown like a correlation between a child's access and love of books to how well they do in school?
I didn't hear you. Can you repeat it?
Are there any studies out there that would show like a correlation to a child's access to books or to their love of books and how well they do? So are kids who read a lot more likely to do well in school and therefore have better jobs? Is there any studies for that?
There's a lot. If you go online, there are a lot of studies that are out there. But most of the studies that you have done is mostly done by the U.S., where they will show the literacy, how if kids tend to read a lot, they tend to go further. And all of that, it helps build their imagination. It helps them to write better and helps them to do better in school on a whole. And it shows that it takes away some of the behavioral issues because they tend to be more in their books. than giving a lot of trouble. But most of the studies that have been shown, this is, and it's going to be sounding really, really bad, but most of the studies have emphasized on summer. Summer, the summer slide. If you look at the, if you look at that, is that is what they focus on, because a lot of kids tend to slide in the summer.
Yeah.
So they do a lot of programs to avoid that.
But
so
they have like reading lists. They have reading lists, and they reward you if you read a lot of books. Because, but you know what? Fortunately, my daughter likes to read. She does read some in the summer, but I don't really get on her because she's reading all during the whole school year.
Yeah.
And reading literature. That I'm just happy she's out of the house and playing. I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what Connection to Creativity is about, is that you can have fun and read.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is. You can have fun and still read.
Now, does it matter? Does it matter if the kids are reading fiction or nonfiction? Does it matter one way or the other?
It doesn't matter what they read. The whole thing about it is I try to make sure that they're reading.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever they choose to read. And, you know, because sometimes we have this list. Because I have a list that I think my son should read. And he doesn't like the books that I choose.
Right.
He wants to pick his list. So if you let them choose what they like, you can slip one and two that you think they should know. Because like I'm trying to get him to read other books apart from The Diary of a Wimpy Kid. You know, something else.
Right.
So you can learn. You can see how another author writes or how they express themselves. So you will be able to express yourself differently too. So, you know, I don't force them to say, okay, this is a strict rule. We should just read these 13 lists of books. You should be able to choose the books that you like. Because some books, I'm sure, I don't know if you guys read the 50 Shades of Grey. Have you?
No, because we're men.
Yeah. I don't think the kids should be reading that either, dude.
I asked you guys.
I read it to my daughter every night before she goes to bed. Better she learns it from me.
No, the reason why I asked, because I've never read the book. Okay, I've never read Harry Potter's books. Have you guys read it?
No. My daughter loves the Harry Potter's books, read them all a bunch of times, loves the movies. And she got that from my wife. My wife loves the Harry Potter books. Now, me, I've never read them, and the movies are a great way to catch a nap. But that's
Yes, me too. And that's the same way how I feel. Mm-hmm. But I'll read a Nancy Drew. I love a Nancy Drew book.
Right.
And as old as I am, 96, I still do read Nancy Drew books. And I've read them before, The Bobs and Twins. I'll find a corner and I'll read it. You know, so, you know, everybody prefers their own style of reading.
I would think so. Oh, I'm sorry. I would think so, because basically, you know, when you read, because if you get a book that you like and you read it, you get involved with the book. The book is on your mind. You think about it, and you get a hunger that you want to get back to that page and read that. And once you're done with that book, you want more. So I guess it's getting, you know, giving the kids that hunger to read a book they really want and then move on to another book that they think they would like, you know, and that is. Gains the momentum.
How can you find that? How can you find that hunger? Say you have a kid who says, "I don't like reading," and they're not really giving you a lot to go on. How can you get a kid hooked who has shown no interest thus far?
Okay, so part of what we do is, like, for instance, say a kid likes to sing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or like to play instruments, like what your daughter likes to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if I give her a book about, say, a pianist, who, you know, a little girl who was doing, and she said, "Read the book." And then, you know, instead of asking her to write a comprehension, I would tell her, play me what you think the book is about. Just create something and express it through
that's
it.
Interesting.
And then what I will say to do is just write me a two-liner about it, but play me the rest.
So you're making it fun. You're going to what they already like.
So I get, right. So even though she physically interpreted to me, I didn't give her a lot to write. Give me four pages. Just write a little bit, but play me the rest. So now she's going to go all out and she's going to express. She's going to give me more than two lines, but she's still going to play how she feels the book is going
and
how she interprets the book.
And that sounds like a great idea, because if you ask them to write a couple of paragraphs on it, that's a chore. If you're asking them to play something, that's their passion.
Exactly.
That's what they like to do. And, you know, I'm a musician as well, and I would, you know, that would inspire me, and it would inspire a child as well.
Are you finding that some kids don't have access to books who want to read, but they don't have access?
Yes, because we have, like, for instance, in the lower, because we do, and the lower income areas, we have a program called Swap and Read. And what we do, we give away books for free in those areas. So they will come in, and I do the same thing what I do. I make it fun. They play games about reading and all that stuff. And then when they leave, they can take as many books as they want. And, you know, I've been getting donations, so people have been donating those books. So the thing about it is a lot of kids, when they have the fairs at school, and the books are sometimes are so expensive.
Yes.
And for them to, you know, to get, like, some kids will probably want to get 3 or 4 books. Some parents can only buy one.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're costing $13, you're thinking about, okay, I know I would like to get you 4 books, but I have to think about buying groceries this week.
Right.
So I only can get you 1 book. So, you know, once a month, they can come to one of our programs, a Swap and Read, and they can take as many books as they want. And they can take it home and read, and they can return it back and then swap it out. So that's why it's called Swap and Read. They swap out, they go back and read. I know the library is there, but sometimes parents don't tend to go to the libraries because they might be busy because of the hours and all that stuff. So if we have that program here, you know, make it accessible, they can drop their kids off. They don't have to stay. They drop their kids off. The kids have a good time, and they go back and they come and pick them back up. And, you know, at the end of the day, the kids are reading at home. But they don't. A lot of kids do not have access to a lot of books. I mean, I have other reasons why they don't. I mean, some parents tend to, you know, like they leave them to school, that the school should provide reading books. They leave them probably government or charitable. People should be donating books to their kids. But, you know, sometimes that if you show interest, you say to a child, say, listen, I'm going to go and purchase books. I take my son and purchase books.
Mm-hmm.
I say, you know, we buy books for you. I mean, I'm not rich, but I, you know, I say you can choose at least 3. And there's books that are for $1. You can go to, sometimes you find books that you go to some store, they have in sale. You can find books that are chapter books for $1 if you have 11-year-old like we do. You know, if you have a young
woman. Yeah, well, I mean, the library, we go to the library quite a bit. I mean, most towns have a library. That's a great place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But now, how can people get involved with your program? How can people get involved with Connection to Creativity?
Well, you know, we are always looking. We're always looking for donation for books because, as I said, we give away books into the low income areas because that's where the need tends to be mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so people can go on our website, which is www.connectiontocreativity.com. And if you know, you can contact us through there, or you can email us at books@connectiontocreativity, and you can send us an email and let us know, you know, how you'd like to help. As I said, we're always looking for books to replace the books that we have because we give a lot of books.
Are you guys just going to communities in New York at this point, or have you guys expanded?
No, not as yet. We still only in the 5 boroughs.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to the different boroughs. I feel like a traveling salesman. I go to the, and guess what I wear? I should send you a photo. I wear a tutu.
A tutu?
Yes, I wear a tutu. I was on the train on Sunday because we launched a program on Sunday at in Queens called Pop Up and Read.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the train, and I saw people taking pictures of me. Secretly, people ask to take pictures of me because I have the stories. I have books on my skirt.
Mm-hmm.
Like we tape them. Sorry, we glue them on my skirt. So different stories. I have like Dr. Seuss. I have Clifford the Dog. We have the Pinkalicious. So you could see the different stories that are on my skirt.
I like to shove a dictionary down the front of my pants. That's what I like to do. I got a head for reading.
That tends to draw a lot of people to the read, and they're like, what are you doing? And I say, you know, you're reading. So a lot of people say, can I have a card? You know, because it's like, I try to get my kid into reading. A lot of people are trying to get their kids into reading, and that makes me feel really, really good. And but there are a lot of other, you know, a lot of free programs, you know, in different areas too that offer, you know, as you said, the library. But the thing about it, some parents tend to have like 3 jobs. You know, sometimes when they get home, they're really tired. And they can't, you know, take them to the library as they want to because they probably want to rest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're trying to make it as easy for parents, you know, where they can get the books. So even if they can't leave to go to the library, they will have books at home that the kids can read.
Well, Stephanie, you're doing great work.
Absolutely.
For those who want to contribute, you go to connectiontocreativity.com. Doing good things. She's a good lady. I know her personally, so she has my personal... a seal of approval, and I'll see you in the city soon.
Yes, you will. Yes, we try to make a play date at 2:00.
Okay. Yes, we'll make a play date. I'll ask for permission.
Funny.
All right, Stephanie. All right.
Make sure you bring a book now.
I will certainly bring a book.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Stephanie McGregor, ladies and gentlemen. That was good. Very informative. Doing good work, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Now we'll get Pip back on the horn.
Yeah, that's very important to get the kids reading. And you know, I never read when I was younger, but I started to, as I got older, like in my 30s, I really started to learn to love to read. And,
well, that's something you could do quietly while you were hiding from your wife.
Oh, yeah, it's true. But still, you know, it was interesting what she said. Like she said, you know, you want the kids to learn to read. There was really nothing like books that interested. It was always that reading list, you know. And if you get a kid to read about something that they're passionate about or like, they'll start to read about it. And then after that book, they want more and more and more. And then they're on their way.
Pip has rejoined us. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
Hiya, Pip.
Pip had a chance to pee, so she's a little lighter than she was before. She's emptied her bladder.
There you go.
So we'll do some comics in the news about Samantha Bee. It was a lefty last week. It was a righty. This time it's a lefty in the fire.
And now it's time for comics in the news.
All right, so I'll catch everybody up. I don't know if everybody knows this story. So last week we talked about Roseanne and her comparing Valerie Jarrett, who's an African-American woman, to an ape, and that promptly got Roseanne fired from her show and fired from her management. The president was silent on that except for asking for where his apology was. He wanted to know where his apology from ABC was, so that's where the president weighed in on racism on that one. But anyway, but Samantha Bee said, hey, you're not the only chick that can step in it this week. Let me have a shot at this. So Samantha Bee, Full Frontal with Sam Bee, right?
Yes.
Right.
I should know when I watched the show. So she called Ivanka Trump a, quote, a feckless cunt, which really, if you're going to be called a cunt, feckless is the way to go.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
She has apologized for her language and recently opened up about what went into the joke being written and its aftermath. So this is her. You know, the thing is, our show is steeped in passion. Every week I strive to show the world as I see it, unfiltered. Sometimes I should probably have a filter. I accept that. I take it seriously when I get it right, and I do take responsibility when I get it wrong. Stories about 1,500 missing unaccompanied migrant children flooded the news cycle over the weekend, so last night we aired a segment on the atrocious treatment of migrant children by this administration and past administrations. Our piece attracted controversy of the worst kind. We spent the day wrestling with the repercussions of one bad word when we all should have spent the day incensed that as a nation, we are wrenching children from their parents and treating people legally seeking asylum as criminals. If we are okay with that, then really who are we? Then she also tweeted the following apology. I would like to sincerely apologize to Ivanka Trump and to my viewers for using an expletive on my show to describe her last night. It was inappropriate, inexcusable. I crossed the line, and I deeply regret it. She took aim at Ivanka Trump due to the first daughter's recent photo with her child. Bee thought the post was insensitive in the wake of the news of the Office of Refugee Resettlement lost track of 1,500 immigrant children in the last 3 months of 2017. While both TBS and Samantha Bee herself have apologized for her use of language, there have also been calls for her firing, notably President Trump, who took to Twitter, saying B should be let go for her misstep. Why aren't they firing no talent Samantha B?
Because he's pissed because he called his daughter a cunt.
Nah, hold on. Let me get through this.
He
should have just direct messaged you if you were going to fucking answer, stupid. He doesn't have your number? I find that hard to believe. Why aren't they firing no talent Samantha B for the horrible language used on her low rating show? Like, one thing has anything to do with the other. Anyway, in the wake of ABC canceling Roseanne Barr's hit sitcom following a racist remark, Trump called the controversy with Bee a total double standard. Not a regular double standard, Joe. A total double standard. Mm-hmm. And added, but that's okay. We are winning, and we'll be doing so for a long time to come. And a statement on Twitter Thursday, Auto Trader called Bee's comments offensive and unacceptable, adding that they do not reflect the views of our company. As a result, we have suspended our sponsorship. They said State Farm Insurance is also pulling their advertising dollars. The company told CNN Money.
Like a pissed advertiser, State Farm ain't there.
Sitting on that one for a week, haven't you?
No, I just...
Oh, okay.
My biggest thing was not trying to make it too wordy on the delivery, but no, I just
did it again. Got in the jingle. I guess I won't be seeing that during the episodes of Samantha Bee anymore. I can just replay this podcast when it gets put up in November just to hear your version of
Merry
it.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas, everyone.
The company told CNN Money, we have asked TBS to suspend our advertising in the program and are reviewing any future placements. We constantly review programs to ensure alignment to our programming guidelines and brand values. So we don't know if any further action is going to be taken against the series. I would guess not. I think, and B acknowledged it, her point, which is a valid point, that we are separating people seeking asylum and we are separating 2- and 3-year-olds and 15-month-olds from their parents is abhorrent. But I think her point got lost by the use of that word. I think she did the cause a disservice. And I'll continue. What, Pip? I'm sorry. What?
It's totally distracting to pull out an atom bomb word like that.
Yeah. I do feel that liberals feel betrayed by Ivanka Trump in some way, that liberals thought Ivanka was going to help swing the president more to the center because she was always viewed as a liberal and a Democrat, but so is Trump. I think what liberals don't understand is she's just like Daddy. She's not a liberal. She's not a conservative. She's a Trump. She's a more polished Trump. She's a better looking Trump, but basically it's about Trump.
She's part of the family.
No, but it's about her. Like the way Donald's about Donald, Ivanka's about Ivanka. So liberals got like, well, you know, Hillary got defeated, but you know, maybe Ivanka, you know, maybe she'll be able to reason with her daddy, and we'll get some of the things that we care about.
But the only thing, well, there's so many places to go here. Number one, in my opinion, with the whole thing, nobody loses their job. And everybody in both camps, nobody loses their job. It's a quick news cycle and we all move on.
Well, that's not really what we're talking about. Yeah, we were going to get that. But to answer that.
But and I'm sounding like an idiot. But what were we talking about?
I was talking about why I think Ivanka Trump gets some of the venom from the left. Because basically, you don't see much of her unless she's promoting herself or meeting with somebody she doesn't belong to be meeting with. But liberals feel betrayed. Like, I think liberals feel like, oh, she was the good Trump. She was going to make it okay
for us. But I don't understand how there's a picture of her and her son.
Right, but this is...
And now Samantha Bee is taking it and dragging it into this immigration thing.
Well, Ivanka got a lot of shit for it that weekend, because it was the same weekend the report came out that the 1,500 immigrant children were missing. That's not completely true, by the way.
For the simple reason is that there are a lot of them were... There were some people that were not home, that were out, didn't return the call. We all know the rhetoric on that, but I...
What is true, though, is they are separating children from parents. Jeff Sessions says this is the policy. Kelly said the same thing.
Well, it's correlating back to the Trump administration because they're getting more aggressive. It's always been the policy, but they're getting...
You need to separate kids. To separate
but
little
the parents
kids.
Knew, but the parent, the parents
I understand
know
that.
The ramifications.
But some of these people are illegals seeking asylum. They're not coming here illegally. They went through the problem. Seeking asylum, political asylum, is different than just trying to climb the fence. It's a different process. So they're doing things legally, and they're still getting separated. But either way, in my opinion, I get it. The parents fucked up. If you want to hold them in a detention center, we can argue about that. Hold them in the detention center with their fucking parents. Mm-hmm. You can't separate a 2-year-old and put them in a government detention center. That's fucking ridiculous. If I told you Russia was doing that or Iran was doing that, you would go, what a bunch of fucking animals they are. You can't do that to a 2-year-old. So that's going on, and Ivanka posts the picture of her nose-to-nose with her child. So it got people upset. You could say, is it misplaced or not misplaced? It may be mm-hmm. misplaced, but I'm just saying I think liberals are very angry with Ivanka because they feel betrayed in some way, and I think they need to get the fuck over it and understand that she was never going to be their blonde white knight.
Also, I don't think that she might have been aware of that whole situation in terms of a child.
She's aware. She's part of the administration. So we're calling her an idiot now? Is that what we're – she's aware. She might not have thought of putting her a picture of my kid in me is going to start this. But she's been insensitive.
But stop right there. That's what I think.
She needs to be a little bit more aware. Right, she is now. It's not the first time she's had a misstep.
Call it a learning curve.
I get it.
You know, that's
So here's where you and I kind of went back and forth on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You and I had different opinions. I stand by, and Pip can weigh in, and then I'll give you my reasoning. I think calling a person ape, which is racist, is worse than calling somebody a cunt. Joe and I went back and forth on this. Joe thought all things were equal. So before I will give you guys my reasoning, Pip, what is worse, a racial slur or calling somebody a very offensive name?
Well, you know what? I think that I'm going to go back to comedy.
Somebody should.
I don't think that what Roseanne was saying was supposed to be funny. Mm-hmm. She said she was supposed to be a joke, but I think she was just flinging out weird political commentary.
You think Feckless Cunt was going for the laugh?
Yes.
I
don't think so.
I mean, I don't. I wouldn't find that amusing. I think the feckless part works, but I don't think that she should have gone there. I mean, I don't think that women should be flinging that word at each other.
So is one worse than as a racial slur? All things being equal, is a racial slur the same as an offensive word?
Well, I mean, if you look at it this way, that it's a racial slur because it's lashing out at a race, and an offensive word because it's trying to make a part of the female anatomy vulgar and you know, make it like a low thing. So it is offensive to all women, really. I mean, a lot of women say that they're not offended, but, you know, I mean, besides parsing it that fine, it's a slur against women. Particularly. I do think that the racial slur, I mean, that bothers me more,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know that, I think I'd be going out on a limb saying one's worse than the other. They're both offensive as hell.
Well, Joe and I were going back and forth on this on Facebook, and Joe said, they should both be treated the same. And I said to Joe, I said, Joe, you can call me a motherfucker, which he has. And stick around next week. He probably will again. And I will call you a name back, and that'll be the end of it. But I said, if you call me a kike, the shit is on. To me,
yeah.
Because
all right, if I call you, you're a fucking kike. All right, or if there's something like you were being chintzy on something, yeah, this guy, typical cheap kike, trying to get. That's in a context of a joke. I'm trying to make a joke.
Well, I mean, it depends.
But it
depends how you. If we're in the middle of a fight, but you call me.
Right. You're 100% correct. 100% correct. If we're not, I go, cheap guy, you know, that's how I. Yeah, but
you'll see a look for me that'll let you know don't do that again.
But then you would go. Yeah, right, and I would go, oh, well, I didn't mean it that way, dude. You know, I'm sorry.
Right.
But
you're talking about a relationship that you and I have that these people do not have.
But it was in the in both situations, it was in the context of
both
a joke by comedians.
No, I think both situations were not jokes, were sent with malice. I don't think Samantha Bee was trying to be funny by calling Ivanka a cunt, and I don't think Roseanne was trying to be funny by calling Valerie Jarrett an ape.
But it was... They were doing it in the context of comedy.
Why is it the context of comedy?
Because they're both comedians and they're trying
so
to.
So everything we say is in the context of comedy?
Sometimes.
When I was trying to get our attention with the scamming stuff and all the Avalo stuff, mm-hmm. that's the same type of thing I had a fucking fight. Because, oh, you're a comedian, everything must be a joke. And I go, no. I'm being serious about this shit. I don't want to be labeled that everything I say
but
is comedy.
If you were making,
right.
If you were making a joke. Bringing this, it's tough because in the context of the radio show, but in dealings, bringing it outright to the scammer community, you weren't making a joke and you weren't going for a joke.
I don't think either one of them were going for a joke.
I think in both contexts they were going for
the
joke.
These women are so much better than that comedically. Both of them are so much. So in order for what you're saying to be accurate, they have to be worse at comedy than these Brooklyn hipsters that you saw.
You know what? Apparently, I was the only one that didn't like it. And I, you know, I'm like,
you're the only one that thinks these guys were going for a joke, too.
I think other people do, too. Here. And the thing about it is, is that everything on either side of the aisle, anybody says anything, people are losing their jobs. It's taking away.
Well, that's up to the company, though. I mean, the company gets to decide. I mean, the company gets to decide if you keep your job, like
should,
any other job.
It should let the viewers
decide. No, it's all about advertising. How many advertisers are you going to lose? Plus, it's Disney. Now, Disney, remember, ABC people like to say, well, Bill Maher said nigger on HBO, and he kept his job. Yes, but ABC is also the same company that fired Bill Maher when he said something they thought was offensive about 9/11. So ABC is being consistent with ABC. You know, the one exception would be, who's on ABC? Oh, I thought Colbert was on ABC. He's on CBS.
Yeah.
Because I know he said terrible things about the president.
But it just seems that everybody is on eggshells about what they can say, and but the thing about it is walking on eggshells hampers free speech, and hampering free speech hampers ideas.
Well, it's funny you mentioned free speech, and I want to double back on that. So it's funny you mentioned free speech. So the president weighed in on Samantha Bee and called for her to be fired. That's the second time the president has weighed in on freedom of speech. I don't know if everybody knows this. Some do. The NFL came out with a ruling as it pertains to the national anthem that if you don't want to stand for the national anthem, you can remain in the locker room. Now, but you cannot kneel any longer on the sidelines. Of course, kneeling is freedom of speech. Whether you like it or don't like it, we're not going to have that conversation right now. But what people did not know, and I didn't know initially, was the president called people in the NFL before they made that ruling. To, I guess, put pressure on them. So it's different when your company says you're fired than when the president of the United States is calling for curbs on freedom of speech because he's got a lot of clout. So I think that should be disconcerting to anybody.
But you know, but the whole thing with the football thing is it's an insult.
I understand, but it's freedom of speech. Sometimes speech is insulting. That's the freedom of speech. We've had this conversation before.
But during the my whole thing on the national anthem.
Let's not do the national anthem thing again because we know how we both feel about the national anthem thing. And you know now the Eagle whatever. I don't want to talk about the national anthem. I just want to talk about you talked about freedom of speech. We have the president weighing in twice, calling for one person to be fired, which that's pretty friggin' powerful for expressing their freedom.
Well, they called his daughter a cunt.
I understand.
Not. Not for nothing. If it was somebody in his staff, all right, but he called his daughter a cunt.
I understand.
You do. You have to understand.
But he didn't weigh in on the racism thing. But the NFL has nothing to do with his daughter, and he put pressure on the NFL to make a rule that did not involve the players. Usually they do that with the players.
But the thing about it is that a lot of people in the country are outraged about
it. And
this.
A lot of people are fine with it and are happy and support
the players. That more people are outraged than people that are fine with it.
It doesn't matter. The point is... are we at a dangerous point now when our president – can you imagine if say Obama was president and there was people touting Blue Lives Matter, mm-hmm. the police, we need to support the police more. And President Obama called the mayor of the city, go, hey, you better tamp down these police. I don't like the messages. You would be in a fucking uproar.
You know what? He sent Eric Holder in to do that.
He didn't know. He didn't send Eric Holder to tamp down the police and the freedom of speech.
But believe me,
I'm not going to believe you.
All right, the whole thing with Ferguson, he sent Eric Holder.
They asked the feds to audit them. That's what happened. They asked Eric Holder to audit them.
But it seemed that Eric Holder had a vendetta against the police.
That's not freedom of speech. I'm talking about freedom of speech.
But it's something. But you're saying that the president issued something to try to tamp down.
Yeah, I said people are saying pro-police things, and the president is going calling the mayor, their boss, going, listen, I don't want to hear this stuff. Forget about wrong or right or defending the police. What I'm saying is we can't have the highest chief executive of the country, curbing people's speech. I get it. He said it about his daughter. I get it. But, here's the thing. What was even worse, which nobody talks about, and I put this on Facebook to find out, everybody was talking about cunt. Samantha Bee apologized for saying...
But we didn't talk about feckless.
Right.
And that's a problem.
Because it's an SAT word. No, what we did not talk about, though, was She goes to, she says, now Ivanka, put on something tight and slinky and like go and talk to your dad. Once again, doing the whole incest thing, which has now become like a common joke that we just joke because of the lecherous things that Donald Trump has said. Oh, yeah, you know, if she wasn't my daughter, I'd have sex with her. Ew, whatever. And some of the pictures. But we've all, to me, implying incest between a daughter and a father is far worse than calling a cunt. And nobody talks about that. Samantha Bee didn't apologize for it. It's like we've all accepted that that's okay. He's a lech. We can do this. It's fine. To me, that is way more outrageous. And I put on Facebook, I asked a lot of the women, what is more offensive? What would you find more offensive to you? Somebody calling you a cunt or somebody implying that you had an incestuous relationship with your father? And overwhelmingly, it was the implication that was incest because that's my family. Nobody's talking about that. So I guess we've all, I guess it's either okay or we've all agreed that.
So that's what the consensus was. It was that instead of the word cunt?
Yes. In the implication of incest with their father, they would find more offensive. Somebody said it to them than being called a cunt.
Right. Well, cunt's the baddest word of the words.
You agree with what? With what I'm saying?
I agree that the implication of being in an incestuous relationship with one's own father is far more egregious than being called the C word.
Yeah, nobody talks about that. B didn't apologize for that. Trump didn't get pissed at that. So I guess we're just all at the place that, okay, this is a lech and it may or may not happen and it's okay to say. I'm a little uncomfortable with that as a society we've deemed this is okay to say, and as a society we just assume he's a lech, and the Trumps don't have anything to bitch
because
about.
Because think them. Of it, you always know we're putting a fire out. The cunt word is a very big fire, and there's a little brush fire.
Incest.
That's the whole thing.
Incest! That's more than a fire. That's a volcano in Hawaii. Incest! I call you a motherfucker.
On a daily basis.
Exactly. You're gonna get pissed off at me. You're going
to
give me some.
No, I've gotten used to it.
I understand.
But until you go fuck yourself, we move on.
I imply that you had an indecent relationship with your mother. We're going to have issues. That's going to hit you in a whole different way than if I just call you. Yeah, I mean, it's a complete, and we don't even talk about that.
But you know what? Stating a word, motherfucker, mm-hmm. you know, and just motherfucker, you know, that's one way. But alluding, oh, yeah, past, you know, he must have had an industrial, you know, ancestral relationship. They're kind of like.
She said, put on something slinky and convince your father. Put on something tight and slinky and convince your father. What's that mean? That's his daughter. Titan Slinky and Daddy should not come in the same context.
Because I think there has been those in that thing, basically the insinuations of that have been ridiculous.
Okay. But they're not ridiculous.
But no, they're ridiculous because it didn't happen, okay?
Well, we don't know.
Oh, come on. Stop it.
Have you heard what he said about her?
It's just being him being a used car salesman, okay?
Not your daughter. Don't you? I'd like
but,
to.
But yeah, really? All right, no, but, no, but,
no. No, let's not normalize that.
I'm not normalizing that. What I'm saying is that it's something that he said that's like, that's kind of ridiculous and creepy that you could allude to. And then she made that put something slinky out, which are kind of making it like farcical in a way, alluding to this ridiculous thing. All right. And that's what that joke is. You're making this allusion, you know, what Trump said, and you're making this allusion to this kind of thing that's kind of ridiculous, you know? But when you say cunt, everything's on the table. You know?
But most,
you know what I'm saying, Pip? You know, I mean,
women have been called a cunt. At some point, honestly, most women have been called a cunt. The vast majority of women have not been implications that they've had sex with daddy.
And most men have been, but like I said, it's basically he made that comment. It's kind of a weird,
a couple of times,
I know,
a few times,
it's kind of weird and ridiculous comment. And basically, it's kind of something that's out there. She kind of took that wording to make it kind of farcical, to elude that because people had their opinions on it, and she made it there. That's up to interpretation. Listen to me. That's up to interpretation, how you portray that. Could it be? But the way she did it, cunt is right to the fucking point, dude. You know? And that is why.
I don't know,
listen,
man.
No,
call
it
me
is.
Cunt, call me but, cunt 7 days a week.
But I will. Thank you for the goal. But anyway.
So you're gonna push me. You're gonna pull back.
Funny. But that's what I'm saying. Where that word, that saying word, kind of took the heat off, not the heat, but kind of made whatever, that other point, not as a big a deal as cunt.
I don't know.
You know, I think you're right, Joe, because they would have been talking about that, you know, allusion to incest if she hadn't brought out the C-bomb.
Right. They wouldn't have been talking about it, which is my point. Like, we've all just accepted that this is okay, that to say it, to imply it's okay, and that it might have happened is okay. So, like, everybody's just okay with this whole scenario.
I don't think that there's
the same thing, implying it. That there's something unseemly about his attentions towards his daughter is not implying that we're okay.
Bill Maher does it several times a month on his show, you know, implying that Donald Trump and Ivanka do not have the typical father-daughter relationship.
How do you feel about that? How do you think women feel about that? How do you feel the network feels about that?
Well, obviously the network doesn't care. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody cares because nobody brings it up. That's what I'm saying. Everybody seems to be fine with this. I seem to be the only one's like, well, this isn't cool on any level. It isn't cool if it happened, and it isn't cool that we're just allowed to say it. I don't think any of it's cool.
Because I think that it's kind of a, you know, he words it that way. It's not like it happened, and
we don't know that.
I know, but still, it's far fetched that it would.
Is it?
It is. It's far fetched.
Why is it far fetched?
It's far fetched that it would. And Donald Trump says outrageous things. He talks off the top of his head, and then
he said it a few times.
Yeah, because he talks off the top of his head like that when he's in the middle of something.
When is banging your daughter ever on the top of your head? What is going on in one's head when banging the daughter is right there to jump out?
But the thing about it, people are like, what the fuck? And then you make a joke about like that thing where people are going, what the fuck? And it's you're teasing on that.
But this is the guy. Trump should be going, hey, slow down. Trump should have Trump should have a problem with it. But no, he's worried about cunt.
Because she called his daughter a cunt.
She also said his daughter has sex with daddy. I guess daddy's fine with that.
You know what, though? That's something that is a joke, and she's alluding. She's a comic. She's
the guy sued over being called an orangutan. That's obviously a joke, too. The man's not really one for sense of humor, Joe.
Of course he's not.
I understand. He's not good at picking up humor.
We knew this going in.
What I'm saying is he doesn't know it's a joke. It's all serious to him. But the orangutan was worth a lawsuit.
Maybe he's got money there.
So, saying you're banging your daughter, it's Wednesday. I don't understand. But it's just me. Okay. So there might be some sort of a double standard when it comes to liberals calling somebody a name and conservatives calling somebody a name. There might be. Although I will say I saw a lot of racist memes during the Obama administration. And we know people were passing around racist jokes, even people in government. But I think a lot of it comes to, you know what, in entertainment anyway, you're mostly liberal bosses.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way. You got to know who your boss is. With Roseanne, who was her boss? An African-American woman. Hey, might not want to go with the ape tweet when my boss is an African-American woman.
I never said it was a brilliant
move, I know.
You know?
But you got to know who your boss is.
Yeah,
you know, listen, Bill Maher knows his boss on HBO is different than the one on ABC. He still apologized for the HBO thing, which we discussed on the, you know, when he said, I'm a house nigger. I'm not a house nigger or something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever, he still apologized for it. It wasn't great language. There might be a double standard, but I think here's the thing. I think Trump is greeted with such vitriol because he toils in the sewer. He dishes such vitriol and hate. So I think it's okay to say certain things about the people. Feel it's okay to say.
Well, he makes his own problems. So
right. But I don't know if that should really. Trump is a flamethrower. Ivanka Trump's not a flamethrower. You could call her a phony, a fraud, this, that, the other thing. But she doesn't spew that type of vitriol. So I don't really think it's right, even though she's part of the government, to keep that type of vitriol on her. You can certainly have complaints.
Yeah.
And make them known.
I brought this up last week. You know, I mean, if you look into the history books and you see, like I read a book on Lincoln when Lincoln was, you know, working his way through politics. He was a lawyer. And you get in those town square debates and everything that went on. I mean, it's the same thing. There was no internet, obviously, or any television or anything like that. But it was just as bad.
So you don't think we've gotten any more courses?
We absolutely have not. And that's just the human element.
I disagree. We've gotten more course. I think reality TV has brought that on. I think the internet, I think this president has accelerated that.
I misunderstood what you said. I thought I was stating that we were, you know, we've all been the same. I misunderstood you. Have we got more course? You're right. Yes, you are right. I retract that. But and for the reasons that you said. See, the thing about it is that before the internet, okay, you had your opinion. The only time you would talk about opinion, you would have your radio talk show. Radio talk has also been a catalyst for this as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, before the internet, the only time I ever heard political talk or political debate was at family gatherings or maybe hanging out. That was it. And you had your own opinion. You said a couple of things. You don't want to make waves because you're hanging out with your friends or your uncle or whatever. You didn't make waves. When the internet came along, it gave everybody their own platform to say whatever they wanted. Okay, when talk radio took hold and started to gain, basically everybody got their own camps with the talk radio shows. When cable,
well, the
came
liberals
along,
weren't very good at it, so they didn't really. They weren't really able to establish a camp.
But still, you know, and basically with cable news, it's a 24-hour news cycle, so they got to keep busy with stuff. So everybody is in their own camp with stuff. I mean, like I said, you are a free thinker on that. Me, I take everything item by item, you know, so I take things with a grain of salt. I feel passionate about stuff. But thanks to Facebook, everybody's got an outlet to say what they want to say.
Well, here's something, and I brought this up. I saw it from a comic who we know, and I see this a lot. Part of this coarseness, where people, conservatives, and it might happen with liberals too, I just don't see it as much, where conservatives say are happy about certain things just because they piss off liberals. It's like now we want to annoy
you.
What?
Yeah, it can't.
You see that too. Like, oh, well, maybe.
Well, what I see also is how it, you know, like I said, if it wasn't this show, we discuss political topics. I need to be up on my, you know, policy and stuff like that to go back and forth and stuff like that. And I need to be on Facebook because I'm an entertainer. Okay. If I was not on the show, if I was not an entertainer, I might be on Facebook briefly and I'd probably not say anything. I feel obligated as a co-host on this show to have my views out where people could argue, we could steer it to the show. Now, here's the thing with J.J. Boyd, as everybody, you know, already knows.
We have to bring him in studio.
We might. If you want, we'll bring him in.
Sure.
Because
I just already had the show with Russ where I was screaming to fuck. Yeah. I don't want to do that again.
But basically, J.J., the whole thing between J.J. and I got very, 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 very nasty. And it got to the point where, you know, we just settled our difference and I gave him a big hug. We hugged. And I let my political beliefs and my views, and I think he did the same.
Yeah, but
you
were a big man in that moment. I don't think most people are.
But it just and it took the passing of a comic friend to realize that we got to treasure every friendship we have. And JJ realized it as well. And, you know, and JJ still, you know, goes off and this, that. I don't say
a
word.
He does.
Yeah, he does. However, I won't. If he comes against me, I'll say, okay, you're entitled to your opinion, because I'm not going to let a political view ruin a friendship. I'm not gonna go back on that path. That goes back to what you were saying. Course, we've been far course, and that's correct. Yes.
As far as B getting fired, I think people need to understand it's a business decision. Has nothing to do with your feelings. It has all to do with money. Just like Roseanne was money. Disney's like brings families together. That's what their image is, and they do a lot of stuff. They own ESPN. A lot of African Americans in there. They couldn't keep Roseanne. I think Cunt and Ape is different. But, I mean, ultimately, if TBS thinks it's a bad decision, bad financial decision to keep her, they'll get rid of her. They're not doing it for anybody's morals. People need to get that out of their head. Oh, they're doing the right thing. No, ABC wasn't concerned about doing the right thing with Roseanne because she has a history of being anti-Semitic and racist. I mean, she took pictures all over the place and put them all over the internet of her wearing a Nazi uniform, a Hitler mustache, gingerbread men taking them out of the oven and calling them Jew cookies. This is not a person I would give a sitcom to.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you're Disney, you might go, hey, you know what? We have a little bit of history with the Nazis. Let's not do that. You know, but ABC isn't doing the right thing. They don't care about the right thing or the wrong thing. And my argument is like, you want to give a conservative show to show that side? Awesome. Do it. You can't find one who's not a fucking racist and an anti-Semite. There's no better conservatives out there to give it to than fucking Roseanne with his history. You know, at least with Sam really. B, at least with Samantha B, she doesn't have a history of this. So we'll see what she does going forward. If she does it again or says something worse, well, then you know what? Maybe she does have to go then.
I don't think
right,
so.
Right.
I'm not saying so. She should be fired. It's a business decision.
I think everybody walks on eggshells. Everybody's afraid to say anything. And the lack of exchange of ideas or if they're wrong, whatever, I think is going to hamper freedom of speech, saying anything.
So my last pet peeve. My last pet peeve, then we'll take a break and we'll do some Jane stuff. My last pet peeve is, so I've heard Snowflake. Oh, these liberals. They can't hear words. They're such snowflakes crying. They need their safe space. Yeah. We all know the stereotype. And I said, and I've said all the time, I go, both sides have snowflakes. I've said that. I go, it has nothing to do with political affiliation. There's pussies on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like every time a liberal says something stupid, and it happens quite a bit. You know, something offensive. The same people that are pointing snowflake on the right all of a sudden are so offended and somebody must be fired or it's a Starbucks cup.
But that's
I'm not saying you.
Point,
I'm not saying
but,
it's you.
But that's what I'm saying. Everybody just, you know, everybody.
It's so hypocritical, though.
Of course. But it's going to get worse and worse and worse until everybody has got to understand. Everybody's got their right to their opinion. Stop getting upset about everything.
Well, that's what this show's for. Everybody gets a right to their opinion. Pip, before I take a break, you didn't get to say a lot. Is there anything we left out?
No. We pretty much covered all of that part. I just wanted to know one thing: were those cookies that Roseanne made the same ones that you were tempted by at the meeting?
On the break. Oh, Pip! It's like your Joe had a flat tire. No, Pip. The one I had at the meeting was like it had like the white chocolate like macadamia type stuff in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were in that diet, you probably wolfed them down like an urchin.
I had one cookie, a fag.
All right. Okay, don't call me a fag.
There was no reason to call you a fag.
I'm offended. I want a retraction.
I should be fired
I think
from the show.
Should be fired from the show.
I absolutely should be. There was absolutely no reason to name call. I apologize. I was out of line. And last week,
Kevin,
and last a couple
Kevin,
weeks ago,
fire
I
fire yourself.
I should fire myself. Last week, I called Pip a hag, and it was a completely
but you
out of line.
But that's what I'm getting at. My point before, if this was a regular show and stuff like that, we're regular
this
terrestrial.
Is certainly not regular.
But if we were still, still terrestrial. We get a phone call, you could be fired for that.
Boy, can only
for
help.
Saying something to me or innocuously, but that's where it's become, and that's what we don't need it to be.
Well, that's where we are.
And shouldn't be there.
I understand that, but you know,
you could have lost your job right then and there.
We can only help.
But you know.
But the president, who's supposedly the tough guy, finally a president with balls, he whines every time
because he's the president. But what I'm saying is,
no,
we're walking on eggshells so much and everybody's so sensitive. If we were on a terrestrial station right now and you said that, even though you goofed on me and they're worried about what people are going to say in their advertising. You could be fired.
I'd have to suck a dick to keep my job.
No, you could be fired. Yeah, and that's my point. That it's hampering free speech, creativity, and it's got to stop somewhere.
All right, on the break, and then we're going to do some scamming scammers with Jane. On the break, we have new music from Crush Your Head with Bring You Down.
Well, that's what happens. Unless you're a tough son of a bitch.